young or old, it's wonderful when God meets us. And how many times have we experienced good things in groups of one or two or eight or ten, as well as in marvelous larger gatherings like this? So I want to encourage you, as we get into God's Word today, and if you have a Bible, Acts chapter 2, the end of the chapter there, and Acts chapter 4, so go ahead and turn there. We're going to go there in just a moment. I want to encourage you to be part of that. Also, over to my right and your left, Kathy is completing a painting this morning with your help of one of the symbols of our creative and joyful and colorful unity in the body here at Abundant Life. And we want to invite you, as I finish this message and after the offering has come your way, as we're worshiping God and responding to Him and preparing to sign up, I want to encourage you to come and lend your hand. There's a square for you to paint. And we're going to be donating this original work that is based on the Abundant Life vision to the church. We want you to be part of that. So please come and join the painting. I'm grateful she has squares because I can't paint anything else. But there's a place for you to lend your touch to this canvas as well. And a place for us to enjoy. There is good news. There is good news. And that good news is that our Father's house is always open. Until we pass away or Jesus returns, the Father has set a table for us, and His house is open. In Berlin, Germany, there's a ministry called Matthew's Table. And in the Bible, it speaks about all the interesting characters of Judea coming to Matthew's Table. And in Berlin, some of my friends, the Butrans, 60-something missionaries from America, are welcoming anyone and everyone from every bohemian center of Berlin to Matthew's Table. People of all ages, people of all backgrounds, are enjoying food and fellowship and meeting people they would otherwise never meet. Can you imagine starched collar and suits right next to tie-dye? And everything in between is at Matthew's Table. Now, Kathy and I are in an important transition. Our daughter is becoming a Texian. I'm sorry, a Texan. And she's getting married in Dallas in just a few weeks. We have our passports ready for the Republic of Texas. And she's running some businesses, and she's going to be living near Dallas, and we're happy for her. We already have figured out every Southwest or American flight to get there. But in the heart of Dallas, Texas, there is an eclectic community called Deep Ellum. And it's the home to every kind of bistro, every kind of coffee shop and pub, every kind of new startup business, and the Dallas Mavericks headquarters. That you might get a Mark Cuban sighting if you want to know there are aliens still on Earth. You know, you can get those. That's an NBA joke for those of you who follow basketball. But in the middle of this eclectic neighborhood is a rather squat building with a colorful sign called Life in Deep Ellum. And Joel and Rachel Triska, Assembly of God ministers, lead this community. Now, on Sundays, they worship together, and they're about the size of Abundant Life. You know, just hundreds of folks that are coming and worshiping. All week, they're in groups in common, just like we are. But all week as well in this building, they're incubating businesses, hosting nonprofits. They have an art gallery and a coffee shop. By the way, the saying in the coffee shop is, share what stirs you. And they are a center of life. From the homeless they have befriended, to the artists they have displayed, to the businessmen creating franchises, and everything in between. You see, folks, life includes our worship together, but it includes who we are and what we do all week. And they encourage people to make friends and make a difference in the world around them. The Father's house is always open. And groups in common is not just a novel idea for the 21st century church. It is the heartbeat of the church through the ages. from Celtic monks on windswept islands in Ireland, Scotland, Britain, to block by block today in Seoul, Korea, God's people meet in small groups and the world changes. Sometimes they meet for the deepest of prayer and Bible study. Other times across our country and around the world, they meet for ministry and service. How would you like to make an impact in the Tenderloin in San Francisco? There's a way for you to do that as part of this body. Sometimes they meet for fellowship and recreation, and through that, relationships develop. We've got a new chorale that needs your voice, and if you want to learn music and parts, you can be part of that. Sometimes they meet around issues of gender as men and women get to discuss things. By the way, it's really fun to have a group of men. If you put them, most men, in a circle and say, "Now share deeply," it's going to be an interesting moment. But you know what happens when you get men working and playing and talking and studying? Lifelong friendships can form. Folks, group in common is not just a novel idea. In fact, one anthropologist and missionary 30 years ago said, if we encounter God, if we experience God's presence and make three or four friends, we will grow and be part of a church. And if you're newer today, I just want to welcome you. We need you to add to abundant life's beauty, to add to the wonderful tapestry that's being woven, the mosaic that's being painted and created. We need you to be part of this body. And groups in common is one way to begin to do that. This is the heartbeat of the church. The other thing that's so interesting, every Christian is called a new creation in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? God's not just kind of slapping a little Bondo on a rusty car. He's making us brand new from the inside out. We are new creations. And that means we're a new community. Only God could put this family together. And that's what's extraordinary about it. We're not a community only based on ethnicity or interest or income or field of work or what you do at school. All those things are part of our lives. We're a community based on the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and He's at work in the world, and He's at work in us. And so groups in common represent expressions of the new community that we are in Jesus Christ. And I want to thank you, because it was the new community like this one that helped me come to Christ as a teenager. 1973. I'm 14 years old. I'm a practitioner of transcendental meditation, led by Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the Beatles guru. Now, there's some history for you. My father had called me a fiery humanist and a repressed basketball star. And I thought Christians, you know, these conservative kind of Christians were kind of ignorant and dumb. And then I watched life change in my peers at high school who had met Christ. And they met Christ in different sized churches and different places. I was invited to young life groups. I was invited to small groups. I was invited to larger gatherings. But in all cases, they didn't ask me what group I was in school, how smart I was, or what my GPA was, or what my interests were. They just wanted me there to meet Christ and to be their friend. How many of you know we need friends who love us just as we are? And in 1974, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I want to give credit to the many peers who prayed for me. By the way, a year and a half later, I'm leading the small group with some of the people who invited me to meet Jesus in the first place. That's the kind of thing God does through small groups. Folks, God's about a good thing, and we want you to be part of it. The other thing about our world in Silicon Valley and beyond is there's a deep hunger for meaningful relationships. Now, we all have different capacities for this. Some of us who are more extroverted love to meet new people and sometimes need to be challenged to go a little deeper. Some, you've already heard about some introverts who are a little bit quieter. You know, when Kathy and I go to a party, it's really fun. You should just watch us at a party sometime. I'll meet all 100 people there, and she'll have two meaningful conversations with two people. And by the way, that's just fine with the Lord. So whatever your personality may be, We still need meaningful relationships. We still need to connect. And groups in common give us a natural way to do that, whether it's recreation, deep Bible study, whether it's the arts. And by the way, Kathy and others are part of a creative team welcoming visual artists and others with skills to enhance our worship environment, to enhance the aesthetics, and to be a witness to the community. How many of you believe the church ought to be a great source of creativity in every area? I want to encourage you to be part of that as well. But today, I want to go to two passages of Scripture that together describe this life, this new life in Jesus Christ in the early church community. So let's go ahead and look at the first one at the end of the book of Acts. Now, Peter has just preached the great day of Pentecost sermon. The 120 in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were praising God in languages they hadn't learned at school or home. The people outside worried that they were inebriated. They weren't inebriated, folks. They were filled with the life of God. And they were a witness in their very praises to the grace of God. Peter preaches, and 3,000 people are suddenly part of a new community. I was thinking about this week. What would it be like? And this could happen by God's grace. Would you enjoy 300 more people suddenly being here next week? Hold on before you say yes too quickly. Each one of them is going to need a friend, aren't they? Well, what was the church to do? Well, guess what? By the leading of the Spirit, they kept on meeting, both in homes, in the temple courts. And then I want you to read the Scripture with me. And you can stay seated right where you are comfortably, but I want you to read with me. What did it look like in the midst of God's work in the world for God's people to be together? Would you read with me? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wow. Wow. What a great picture of life. And we're going to read another scripture in just a minute. I want to say right ahead of time, this generosity was voluntary and we don't have a new financial plan we're asking you for this morning. Okay? But folks, I want you to see, you had thousands of Jews gathered for the Pentecost feast. And now they were believers. And before they made their way back home, they had fellowship and learning. And people just spontaneously took care of each other. I can't tell you how many times Kathy and I have been the beneficiary of small group participation, of friends who've helped us move. In fact, nobody packs a truck like Kelly Yama, like KG. Nobody. I think he invented Tetris. I still remember 1988. He couldn't believe that we fit everything in 800 square feet in the first place. And I'm saying that because I want you to see the tangible reality. I can also tell you about one of the groups we were part of. We took up an offering for a traveling minister whose family was in need, and we literally walked around the block from our meeting and gave it to the wife. And she said, "Now I have milk for my babies." Folks, God does amazing things in small groups. Well, let's take a look at another scripture. I want you to read it again with me. So what's happened in between? We've had a marvelous miracle of healing and once again, the ability to preach the gospel. We've got opposition from religious leaders building. And yet they're fearlessly preaching Christ, but they're also doing life together. Let's read it again. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and put it at the apostles' feet. By the way, Joe here is later going to be the partner, the mentor, the friend of Paul the apostle. What a marvelous picture of life together. So what I'd like to do is just unpack three major themes of this life together. And again, emphasizing this is a voluntary, dynamic, creative moment. And you can't replicate that exact moment culturally, but we can live the life of Jesus Christ through groups in common together right here in Silicon Valley. First of all, when we get together in groups large and small, we grow in our walk with the Lord. And I want you to notice from chapter 2, they were enjoying the apostles' teaching, they were praying, and they were having communion. The breaking of bread really can go kind of both ways, toward communion as well as shared meals. In fact, in the early church, they often had what they called an agape feast. We'd call it a really good potluck. But they would eat together, and in the midst of that meal, they would set apart the bread and the cup and have communion. What a marvelous picture. Growing in doctrine and devotion, growing in knowledge of God's Word. And I appreciated Pastor Sean's comment here about the fact to the children that sometimes, in fact, in the first century, you didn't have any, you know, pocket New Testaments. Whatever scriptures you had, you heard and memorized and sang together. And so they were hearing good teaching. They were deepening their walk in prayer. Even a recreational group in common, there are going to be moments of prayer, moments of learning, natural moments of sharing together, and then celebrating communion. I hope you're aware that when we take the bread and the cup, we are celebrating both the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and His provision on the cross, and we're anticipating His return, rehearsing for the feast that will never end every time we break bread together and drink the cup together. They're growing in their walk with the Lord. What a marvelous thing. What else is going on? Well, they're also experiencing fellowship and generosity. They're helping each other out, and they're enjoying this fellowship. It's dynamic because Jesus is the center. You know what's really fun is that God brings people together through Christ that would otherwise never meet. And these Jews in the first century were from all over the Mediterranean, probably as far as from Spain all the way to Afghanistan, from North Africa to Southern Europe, all gathering in Jerusalem, speaking so many languages, and they learned the language of love together in fellowship and in generosity. By the way, this was a practical thing. What do? With 3,000 from the first sermon and another 2,000 from the next sermon, we've got 5,000 folks to feed and care for before they make their way back to their homes. And so very practically speaking, they worked together, enjoyed fellowship, enjoyed generosity. Enemies become friends. Aliens become citizens. People we would never even associate with are now our friends. When Pastor Greg and I communicate, whether it's just a fun text or whether it's some business like preparing a service, he always ends his communication with, bless you or thank you, brother, and sometimes the abbreviated version, brother. Anybody heard that from Pastor Greg? Folks, there's no higher title. I have titles, and we all, different ones of us have titles at work, and they're meaningful, and we're to respect different offices. But folks, there's no higher title than brother or sister. Jesus calls us His sisters and brothers. He's not ashamed to call us that. His joint heirs. This is what fellowship and generosity can be as we gather together. What happens though? Number one, we grow closer to the Lord. Number two, we grow closer to each other. And then there's an overflow. God entrusts miracles and signs and favor with people outside the church. You see, the groups all are safe places, confidential places, places where you can really relax and enjoy yourself, but they're also open tables. Now, there occasionally we'll have specific groups that may kind of open and close for a period of special study or particular need. But in general, these groups are open. Great place to bring a seeker. Great place to bring a friend who's thinking about Jesus. And what happened is, in this early moment of dynamic life together, there was favor with people. For I love to brag about Abundant Life, and I get to preach and serve in other churches that I brag about as well. But this is home, and I would bring anyone from any background here unreservedly to the fellowship of Abundant Life. But I would also bring them to any of our groups in common. This is what happens when God's on the move. So let me share some challenges. Some practical things, okay? That's great idealism, Charlie. Wonderful stories from the Republic of Texas. That's great. You even found a way to bring Berlin, Germany in. But, you know, I got real life starting this afternoon or tomorrow morning. First challenge, emotional margin and a busy schedule. Can anybody say amen? I love the old movie with Cary Grant and Audrey Hepburn called Charade. And he's quite interested in Audrey Hepburn. He's trying to take her out on a date. He's trying to get her interested. And she said, I'm sorry. I have too many people in my life. Somebody has to die first. Do you know how often unconsciously we do that? We're kind to people. We say hello. But deep down, we wonder, do I have room for one more person? And let's be honest, especially if they're not quite like me. Oh, we all have room for people we might admire or want to kind of curry favor with. But just, folks, we were the outsider at one point and someone welcomed us in. Introvert or extrovert, can we find room for a friend? Busy schedule? Hey, if you've got time for a movie, you've got time for a group in common. It's one of the challenges, and I want to be honest about it and help us not feel so much guilty. But you see, groups in common are not like one more thing on my weekly or monthly checklist. They are the thing that makes us part of community. I didn't have a chance to share this in the first service. In the late 80s, early 90s, as we were our kids were growing and we were part of many groups in common and part of some churches here, I call our social schedule, but our fellowship schedule was full. And by the way, kids are portable, parents. We had a Ford Festiva until we had the third kid. Okay? You put a playpen in the back and a diaper bag if you need diapers, and you put your kids in car seats and you go. Now you have your first child and it's an SUV. But anyway, moving on. Come on, it's true. It's amazing the technology that we need. I ask parents in big strollers if they have four-wheel drive. Anyway, folks, we were like our life was full, and maybe a little bit too full at times, but our life was wonderfully full of fellowship. We left the area for 4 years, from 94 to 98, and something accelerated in this valley. And when we came back in 98, 99, we still had wonderful friends, but the valley had changed. The pace had increased. One church I was serving in, around the year 2000, I talked to a board member and she was vulnerable and she said, I can't remember the last time we had anybody over for dinner. We all meet for 30 minutes at Starbucks now. Folks, it is a marvelous, spiritually powerful thing to pause and to engage in any one of these. Whether it's the need and opportunity of recovery, or you're working with people that are struggling with recovery, we've got the Joy of the Lord here. We've got an Al-Anon group here. You have common interests and hobbies. We've got things for women and men to participate in. Whether it's a need to go deeper in prayer and the reading of the Word or study, there are those opportunities. But every time we take advantage of them, we're pushing back that busyness and that frenetic pace and walking and keeping in step with the Spirit. Another challenge, do we have room? I get so excited as I have the privilege of encouraging leaders in churches. If we'll make one new friend in the church and then pray that God will help us bring one new friend from outside, we will be bursting at the seams in all of our services and all of our activities. Do we have room in our hearts? I am the recipient of someone who said, yeah, I've got room to be Charlie's friend. Now, I'm a little bit more of an extrovert, so meeting new people isn't a drain on the energy. But nonetheless, I'm so grateful. See, I've had both experiences in my life. I know what it's like to walk in a room and people are glad you're there. I also know what it's like to walk in a room and all of a sudden you realize you really probably shouldn't be there. Anybody have both of those? The Father's table is open. The door is open. Groups in common are open. You'll never walk into one of these groups and have people say you don't belong here. You're welcome at the table. What a wonderful thing we get to have. Well, what's the opportunity that's in front of us? Most of us in the course of a week, whether at home or going out, will watch a movie. Now, there's a few of you who've reached level 22 holiness where maybe you don't do that. But Kathy and I just have to tell you, we like to go to the movies. Trying to avoid the popcorn, and we're careful about what we see, but we like to go and do that. Folks, if you have time to enjoy a couple of shows, and it's okay to do so, you have time to be engaged in one of our groups. Don't make this another thing on the list. Make this the new normal by the grace of God. I'm going to connect with sisters and brothers. And what groups in common do is provide a natural way to do this. Now, I joked earlier about men in the group, but it's the same for all of us, women and men. Some of us, it's just a little harder to break in or to feel at home. Maybe we're newer to the area, or maybe we've had some difficult experiences in other situations. Groups in common are a natural place to begin to find some fellowship and watch faith begin to grow. And so I want to encourage you, my prayer is that 100% of the folks that call this home or are looking in for a new home will find themselves trying out one of these great groups. It's an easy entrance for people who are still thinking about coming to Christ. I remember before I was a Christian, just the fact that somebody invited me to something with happy people was a really neat thing. I went to Young Life before I was a Christian. I went to watch a movie at a church before I was a Christian. And I wasn't yet a Christian. I was still thinking about things. But just the joy of being with other people that didn't care whether I was a great athlete, I wasn't, or whether I was in this clique or that clique. Can I just tell you? You fit in the Father's house. You fit in the body of Christ. And that's not just saying that like you're welcome here. We need you here. Who you are and all that God's given you makes us richer. In fact, when you become a member of a church or you really commit to being part of a community, you're not only fitting into that community, you're changing that community. Because you're a living stone being added to this unfinished cathedral that God is building. And groups in common say, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're part of us. As we bring this part of our worship to a close and prepare to rally around these tables, to prayerfully and joyfully commit to engaging with one another, I want to remind you, please come and paint. Please come and be a part of creating something beautiful that symbolizes how God takes the many and makes us one. Come and paint. Come and sing. Come and play. Come and pray. Come and learn. Come and be part of the extraordinary thing that God's doing through each of these groups. We talk about, well, we got to do something for the poor. Folks, there's a chance for you to do something for the poor. We've got to do something. Fill in the blank. There's probably a group doing that something here. And by the way, as you join and become part of a group, God may even put on your heart a new group or another kind of group to help be a part of. And as we get to know you, there'll be room for those creative expressions as well. Groups in common offer us a way to make lifelong friends and demonstrate the quality of Christian life to a watching world, all while having a blast. Folks, it's really fun to be together. It's life-changing to be together. Now, after a busy Sunday, when we travel at times, or I'm involved in speaking more than once, or we have a full Sunday schedule, I'm ready for a party. I am so ready for a party. In fact, I'm ready for a party after this service. Let's go. Kathy's ready for a three-day retreat. A silent retreat. No, no. We will say hi to you and be friendly. We love hospitality. But you know, where Kathy and I, very different personalities, very different family backgrounds, by the way. Someday I'll have to just tell you what it was like when our families first met. Fascinating sociological moment. But because the Lord Jesus Christ is in common, and because our lives were both changed by small groups, we began to see in each other something wonderful. Came together because of Him and a common mission. And we've been walking and weaving together for 35 years now. We may have three kids in three time zones, but you're our family as well. And our groups in common give us a way to really connect and keep on connecting. We have lifetime friends, but we're willing to make a new friend as well. What do you say we ask God to do something extraordinary right here, right now, as we come together in groups in common? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we thank You and praise You. We thank You and praise You that the good news we sang about this morning, the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, we thank You that makes us each new creations. But we thank You, Lord, it's inseparable from being part of Your new community, Your body, Your temple, Your household, Your family. Jesus, we are so glad that You call us Your brothers and sisters. Abba, Father, we're so glad that Your love is unconditional. And that love is so powerful that You want to change us from glory to glory through our relationships together. As we pray and play, as we study and serve, as we live and learn together. God, I ask for my friends here today, here in this service and at the sound of my voice, that every one of us would find our place in a group in common. And in so doing, begin to discover all the more how You are at work in our lives for Your glory and for the good of others. Friends, as your heads are bowed, would you take a moment right now and would you say, Lord, speak to me of a next step I can take in fellowship in this body? Would you take a moment right now? Maybe you're in one group, but God's saying there's another one for you to be involved in and to serve in. Maybe you've never taken this step. Today is your day. But I'd like you to do one more thing. As we prepare to worship in our giving and to respond to God with praise, as we prepare to sign and serve together, would you quietly whisper the name of a non-believer, a seeker, someone who needs to meet Christ that is in your life right now? Would you whisper their name to God? It's His will that they're saved. It's His will that they come and be part of a community like ours. God, would You make a way? Would You give me the courage and opportunity, the clarity and the boldness to share good news and to invite friends to these groups and to this worship? And Father, we ask in Jesus' name that one by one, two by two, through every member of this body, that You would add to our number, and that, Lord, we would see evidence of Your grace and mercy as we make a difference in Cupertino and in this valley. We ask this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, let's continue to worship Him in spirit and truth as Sean comes to lead us.